Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to which we can all say, Amen. And God said to Noah and to his sons with him, Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you. Here we have a text that deals with God's faithfulness and abundant provision for his people. Of course, the story of Noah and the ark is a familiar one, but there is more here that is not always told with the story. In the immediate context, there is a command to be fruitful and multiply, as though God needed to repeat himself on that one. That brings us back to the command in Genesis at the beginning, to be fruitful and multiply. God's purpose has not faltered, and it has not altered. He will raise up his kingdom, and he uses people to do it. It must have appeared to be a daunting task, this being fruitful and multiplying. When Adam and Eve did this, it started with two and resulted in probably millions by the time of the flood. And now there were only eight left, and so it's a bit of an issue. And so there was a lot that could go wrong, like attacks from animals, which they were now allowed to eat, natural catastrophes, and many other issues such as childbirth and disease that could also take lives. There must have been immediate and existential worry about God himself. You know, he had just brought this great flood. What if we start over and we sin again? Maybe God will break out against us. God makes the command, but he also provides the means. Some of the means was provided in advance. Noah was commanded to bring on the ark seven of every clean kind. And so there was something there in terms of being able to make sacrifices and also in terms of being able to eat. We also have the means of the promise that this destruction of flooding will be stayed in just this one regard, a devastating flood upon the whole earth. Now, God has plenty of other means, as we can read in the book of Revelation, for destroying the earth. But apparently, universal flooding is now out. This must have become a security for those who had just experienced the destruction of that time. God changes the situation to make rainbows appear, his sign there will be no worldwide flood to cut off all living things from the earth. And his covenant is not just with the people. God makes his covenant with all the living creatures of the earth. And God keeps his promise to this day. There has been no other worldwide universal flood, and this has gotten people so confident they are now skeptical about the first one, which is probably not wise. There is a great comfort in knowing that God keeps his word for us. Here we have a kind of temporal promise. But the Lord our God is indeed a great Lord and Savior. He keeps his word in this area. We have the sign. He acts as any great Lord would, first by commanding the blessings for his people of being fruitful and multiplying, and then by seeing to it there is sufficient security and provision that these good commands might be carried out. And here is the problem for us. Although God has abundantly provided both the means and the blessing, and I would say the desire to carry these things out, in the keeping of the command and in the carrying out of the command, we frequently fail him. Following the flood, for example, people develop security in themselves and look at what happens. Noah wants to take a day off, so he plants a vineyard and gets himself drunk. One of his children looks at his nakedness and becomes cursed. And all the peoples of the earth later gather together to make a tower to reach the heavens, so they will not need God anymore. And the list could go on. The point here is that God continues to put pressure on us that we might be molded into the people he would have us be. Noah curses his son. The Babel people are confused. But we are obstinate and seek independence from God's abundant provision for us. We seek to do it our way. We would seek independence from the God who loves us. When presented with the alternatives of God's tender mercy and the blessings that accompany that tender mercy and the ravages of sin, we often choose sin to our shame and harm. We often choose those ways of Babel and those ways of Ham. But God does not end his work with these few temporal promises to Noah. He is a great Lord who deeply and truly loves his people and would see them thrive and be well equipped for every task that he commands. So he sends us his Son. Jesus Christ has come to fulfill the promises of God and to provide a kind of security that comes only from knowing that there is eternal life and that he has saved us for it. This is not just about one kind of calamity. It's not about having sort of universal flood insurance policies, but rather about all the hazards of this life. For if this life is just a mortal coil, as Shakespeare has put it, a temporary state until the life to come, then we do not really have to worry about the things of this life if we are in Christ Jesus. Of course, we do anyway. Not only so, but God goes beyond the temporal problems we face and takes care of the deeper problems of our sin by the atonement of Christ. Jesus died for you and me. He died while we were yet sinners. He died to set us free not only from the cares of this life, but what drives us to such idolatry. He came that we might have life and have it to the full. He came to deal with the sin, the death, the devil in our lives, and by vanquishing them at the cross to provide what we need to thrive and carry on the work of his kingdom. He forgives us, he loves us, he makes us whole in him. And if God has provided his own Son to die at the cross and fulfill the covenant of salvation for his people, will he not abundantly provide for the work of his kingdom as well? Among other means, God does this also by providing workers for his kingdoms, families to support those workers. God even provides people to train the workers and those who administratively and in all other respects support the training in this place. He wants his work done and provides us abundant means and energy to carry it out. God has kept his temporal promises. We as sinners move away from them frequently, but God is always there calling and asking us to come back and return to his righteous ways. He is always there with his cross and the blessings of Jesus Christ for you and for me. Even when we feel guilty and have problems that we don't seem to be able to overcome with our emotions, he has frequently already forgiven us and given us that grace. And it takes us longer to see what he has done for us than for him to forgive us. How much more will our faithful and loving God keep his eternal promises by providing life and salvation and every provision in abundance for we, his children? We may sin, but God remains faithful to his covenants and brings us to repentance and salvation in him. He is our faithful Lord and God who returns us to himself by his Son and his work at the cross and tenderly nurtures and cares for us. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.